You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your host, Armand. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. ClockRadioSpeakers.com is powered by Tumblr. We have a SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/ClockRadioSpeakers, facebook.com/ClockRadioSpeakers. Twitter is at CRS Podcast. We are powered by 4th District. And Doc's here.
Doc's here. That's right. What's going on, everybody? You can follow me on Twitter at Doc_Beats, S not a Z. Let's see. Don't forget, you can go to teespring.com/CRS Podcast, teespring.com/CRS Podcast, or just go to ClockRadioSpeakers.com. At the top of the site, it should say t-shirt. Click there. We got t-shirts for sale only for a limited time.
Something like that?
Yeah. You know what? We've got these things that call computers. I'm gonna go look this up
right now. Hold up.
We got seven days from right now. We're recording this on March 31st at night. So by the time y'all hear this, it will be a week or less. So
7 whole days, Tony Braxton. Get it right.
$20, but it's on nice American Apparel t-shirts. Everything that goes to the shirts, you know, we're not buying Ronnie Foggs for Armand or Doc. We're putting it all. I mean, we could, but we're putting it all into the show.
Back into the show. Podcast costs money. And we're not trying to spend our own money. I don't want to put it like that.
No, because we do. But anything
we do spend our money.
But. Right, obviously. But anything you could put in the show helps us out. Plus, you know, you get to support the show.
Absolutely.
Anybody who didn't grab the first time, or anybody who wants another one, or you want to get some, you know, these make great stocking stuffers. Like, I'm sure your mom would want. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway,
For real, man, go do your Christmas shopping. I always tell people the best time of the year to go shopping, especially for clothes, is like from Martin Luther King until maybe like the end of February. Martin Luther King. You ain't never met no Martin Luther King. That's the best time to go shopping because there's overstock from all the department stores and they're literally giving clothes away. I'm telling you, I worked retail for a while. And if you work retail after the holidays, you know that. Like, it is the best time to stock up on everything. So, get your Christmas shopping out the way now, cuz. So when you got October and November, you know what I'm saying? You save your money. You could buy yourself Christmas presents by then. That's what I do. I always buy myself a Christmas present. Why not? If I don't take care of me, then who will? Wow. Anybody else? What?
Wow. I said wow.
Now, why is that a wow?
If I don't take care of me, who will?
I like me.
Is that a DJ Khaled future album title?
If I don't take care of me, who will? Me. DJ Khaled.
See, you know how they have like scary movie, like mock, you know, movies that mock other movies. Like, how are you not putting out mixtapes that mock other albums?
Oh yeah,
if I don't take care of me, who will?
I'm still. I just see the album cover and I see the Suffering from Success facepalm, which should have been a bigger thing than it was. No, I'm gonna do a parody album before I hang the mic up. I will do a parody album. I guarantee it.
Get KFC2.
KFC2. I'm a Magna Christian Holy God. Like, we're going to do it. God only shines on Sundays. Like, that's really going to be a thing. KFC2. Okay. I have so many concepts that I've written down. Like, oh, don't you worry. Oh, we will be doing that.
So anyway, what's up? What's up? I was going to say, what's up with you, man? What you been doing?
Nothing.
You guys missed it, but pre-show, I recorded some of it. I should release it as a special limited edition podcast. We recorded the oldest 5 minutes in Clock Radio Speakers history, where we talked about, home repair and budgeting, and it was disgracefully old. But I'm assuming you watched some WrestleMania.
I absolutely did. As you may or may not know, if you follow me on Twitter, you know that, you know, I usually live tweet the Raws. And you know, WrestleMania, that is our Super Bowl. So, you know, grabbed the nephews, hooked up with the homies, went to B-Dubs, ate some processed chicken, and took in some WrestleMania. Absolutely.
And what was your verdict?
It was good. It was good. You've got people saying that it was like the best WrestleMania in the last 10 years, yada, yada. What happens is, and what that comes from is, number one, the ending was great. The main event was fantastic. But because the build was so bad and the expectations were so low, because it was better than you expected. Sometimes your emotions allow you to kind of cloud and mystify how you treat things. So it was good. Mm-hmm. It was good.
Okay.
But like, was it, you know, the greatest WrestleMania ever? I don't even know if it was better than last year's WrestleMania, to be honest with you. So, but it was good. It was really, really good. I enjoyed myself. I had a good time. The main event alone, like Brock Lesnar is like the dopest, like anything ever. So anytime, and they basically just beat the crap out of each other for 20 minutes. Like those were not wrestling punches or wrestling knees. Like they were, if you go back and watch that match, they were beating the crap out of each other. And it was enjoyable. So shout out to Vince McMahon.
So I'm going to be an old stodgy man. Just, you know, keeping up with our tradition tonight, since I've been old and stodgy since we got on Skype. You know what? I didn't watch WrestleMania. I haven't watched wrestling in a long time, but I think, you know, and long time listeners know, like I grew up on wrestling. Like I watched wrestling all through the 80s and 90s, but I was a little startled, or maybe taken aback is the better word, at how like mainstream sports, specifically how ESPN covered this. Did you catch any of that?
I heard they showed highlights. That is the only time I've ever seen wrestling shown on ESPN in that aspect. They've done a couple of like E60s. They did one on Scott Hall a while ago and his drug problem, et cetera, et cetera. Do you remember when Dennis Rodman was in the NWO?
Yes.
Now, that was at Bash of the Beach, so it was Dennis Rodman and Hulk Hogan.
Didn't Karl Malone do something?
Against Diamond Dallas Page and Karl Malone.
Yeah.
That was on ESPN.
Well, that, as stupid as that was, that kind of makes sense.
So you've got, number one, I think what it was, you've got Brock Lesnar, because on Tuesday, the whole story was Brock Lesnar's contract expired. It was supposed to expire yesterday. So he was going down to the wire. He was either going to go back to the UFC or he was going to continue with the WWE. He went on ESPN, didn't tell anybody what he was going to do, and made his announcement that he was going to stay with the WWE. I think you've got Jonathan Coachman, who was an ex commentator. He's on ESPN now. I think Michelle Beadle's a fan. I want to say there was another commentator who works for ESPN. There's a few. So you're starting to see it integrated. It's getting to be a little. You're getting to see a little more wrestling in pop culture. It's starting to be nowhere. It's not nowhere near as, you know, as cool and acceptable as it was. Right. In the 90s during the Attitude Era and stuff. But it's starting to be, you know, it's a little nostalgia thing. Like, oh, yeah, Hulk Hogan? Yeah, me too. Eh. You know what I'm saying? But
right. And
I think that's why I was on there.
It's funny because, you know, for a while, ESPN has certainly been, they've certainly been dabbling with having, like, you know, rappers on certain shows. 2 Chainz has been on there. Lil Wayne's been on. Like, in other words, they certainly have breached the pop culture sort of thing, right? And stuff that they work with, like Grantland, which is an offshoot of ESPN, they do lots of pop culture stuff, right? I get that. But it was really jarring to have, like, because I have a Twitter list for all, like, sports-related stuff, to have SportsCenter tweet match results from WrestleMania like it was a real sport. I was like, now wait a minute. Come on. Really?
Are you really going to be mad about that?
Look, you want to watch wrestling like that? It's totally fine. It's totally cool. I used to watch it as a kid. I loved it. Like, I have no beef with that. It's not like a, like sports, man. Part of it is, like, I don't really watch it anymore, right? But I grew up with, like, SportsCenter. Like, really? Like, that would be if, like, you know, if CNN was like, breaking news, this is what happened, like, in House of Cards. Like, and we, you know, we're going to go to live analysis of what Kevin Spacey's character did. And it's like, nah, like that's a really bad analogy, I guess. But like, to me, SportsCenter is about sports. Like I used to love wrestling. Wrestling is not a sport, man.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you when you say SportsCenter is about sports, because very little the ESPN does is about sports.
So maybe that's my problem, is I'm still thinking of SportsCenter as, I mean, literally being about sports.
ESPN as a whole. And I don't even want to put wrestling in this category, because I have more respect for wrestling than a lot of the stuff that people or that is shown on ESPN. We've heard the story about ESPN drumming up their own content and that's how they make money. I think we talked a while back on one of our episodes or whatever. So ESPN, I call it TMZ ESPN. They create their own news. half of it is really like sports gossip, like, girl, you heard what Kevin Love said about LeBron James. What you think? Like, that's what it is now. That's what a lot. Oh, and by the way, Cleveland played a game last night. Here's some quick highlights. But girl, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. What you think? Like, that's what it is now.
See, I can at least buy, I can at least somewhat buy that because it is sports related.
No. If we're letting in finger snapping and neck rolling in the sports, but then just hiding it behind sports because it's a bunch of athletic guys with footballs and baseballs and basketballs, then surely you can add in choreographed fighting. Sure you can. Surely you can. And another thing I want to say about wrestling since we're here.
Okay.
Listen. The same way that people nerd out and talk about Marvel and like comic books and like it's the same thing for wrestling because no, I'm not talking about you.
Okay
I get a lot of people who are like, you watch wrestling? Like, did you watch The Dark Knight first day? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you read comics? Yes, you do, because you guys, I see people on Twitter all the time, oh, the new Avengers movie, and they're going to have this character in there and this superhero. Like, I don't know who that is, but the same way y'all nerd out about that is the same way we nerd out about wrestling. There is no difference between Sting, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, and Batman, Superman. There's no difference. Very small, nitpicky differences, but ultimately is the same thing. It is larger than life characters in this sort of alternate universe that have superpowers and think differently and act differently and have these conflicts and respond. It's the same thing. So I say that to say, stop slandering wrestling. And if you're one of those, everybody's talking about WrestleMania today. Like, yo, chill, relax. Cause it's corny. Very corny. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. What's going on, Doc?
I think wrestling? No, I'm just kidding. I was going to say, I still think it's a little corny. You know,
that's okay, but like,
right.
Everybody's a nerd about something. That's one of my life philosophies. Everybody is a nerd about something right. You nerd and obsess about that other people are going to look at you and be like, why do you care? But you care. You care too much.
Right.
People say we nerd out about hip hop.
Yes.
It is what it is. It is what it is.
All right. Let's talk about something that actually kind of loosely concerns hip hop.
What's that?
Let's talk about Tidal.
Let's get into it.
For people who may not know, maybe you're listening in a future world where Tidal doesn't exist. Maybe you haven't been paying attention to the news. What is Tidal?
Tidal is the hot new streaming service that Jay-Z poured. I think he put $56 million into.
Yeah.
Or he got investors to put $56 million into it. Did he? I heard he didn't spend his own money.
That's the American way.
Of course.
Jay is the most American of any success story that you can possibly imagine.
Right.
You don't spend your own money. You constantly make your accomplishments sound bigger than they are. Like, this isn't limited to Jay-Z. Jay-Z is following the American success story from day one. He's no different than so many other people who've come before him.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So it's a streaming service. It is supposed to be a streaming service for artists. So, you know, all of a sudden out the blue, like maybe like an hour or two after WrestleMania, you saw a bunch of people turn their avies on Twitter to this sort of like light blue picture. So it was Jay, it was Beyonce, it was Kanye, it was Nicki Minaj, it was Taylor Swift, it was your man Biz Sweets. Who else was a part of that? J. Cole, I believe Chris Martin from Coldplay.
Yeah.
What's the other group? Was it Daft Punk?
Yeah.
Couple other artists or whatever. So, and then it came out. They had this big press conference yesterday. Did you watch the press conference?
It was completely absurd. What a ridiculous batch of nonsense.
I didn't watch the press conference. So what happened?
It was a lot of really rich celebrities making what they're doing sound so important. Now, let's get one thing really clear. The whole theoretical idea behind Tidal is artists partly own it, and not all artists, right? This isn't a co-op. This is really rich people who ostensibly own some shares in this streaming company, right? So the rich are getting richer. Let's not make this sound any better than it is. And the other sort of thing that's supposed to be great about it, well, there's two other things supposed to be great about it. One of the things that's supposed to be great about it is that artists will get a higher royalty rate. And then the last thing is you can pay more and get higher quality. So yeah. Let's sort of roll through these. And then one last thing is that there are going to be exclusives on Tidal, right? So they weren't really clear as to what exclusive meant. And I think there's a really specific reason for that, which I can talk on, but they're sort of, there's going to be exclusive content and you see all these big name artists. And I think they want for the public to put 1+1 and say, oh, well, this means that in the future, if you want to hear stuff from Jay or Beyonce or who are all these people, you got to use Tidal, right? That's, I think, the connection they want people to draw. All right. So a couple things. So number one, this idea that people are going to pay more to get higher quality stuff. So it's kind of nonsense, right? So with Spotify, you can get, is it 256 or 320?
I have no idea what Spotify
is. I think Spotify's highest quality is 320.
Okay.
And what Tidal's promising for $20 is lossless. So identical to CD quality. I would love to see what they call it. It's called an A-B test. I would love to see an A-B test where somebody listens on identical equipment to the highest quality that Spotify can offer and the highest quality that Tidal can offer. And I'd love to see people actually pick out which one is which. Almost nobody will be able to do so. And then if people are on regular quote-unquote types of equipment that people use, so the headphones that come with your iPhone or even Beats or whatever it is, like, you're not going to be able to tell the difference. So that's just nonsense. Then the idea that people will pay $20 a month for that is also complete nonsense. People are not paying $20 a month for that. There's absolutely no way. People barely want to pay $10 a month for Spotify, right? I mean, Spotify makes people angry because they have an ad-supported version that does really well. Because people don't want to pay anything.
Yeah, I saw a thing on the Today Show where they took a I guess they took a survey of like how much do you want to pay to listen to support your favorite artist? And I think 66% said $0.
Right, right. So is it going to be higher quality? Yes. Will anybody be able to actually tell the difference? Probably not. But I'd love to see, I assume in the next coming days, this is all still really new. In the next coming days, we will get much more detail. Like, people will be doing comparisons and reviews, and we're going to get a lot of information.
I've seen some, even just from a streaming standpoint. Cause of course, if you stream, it's going to cost you some megabytes in your data plan or whatever, if you're not on your Wi-Fi. And I think high quality Spotify took up 15 megabytes, and I think the lossless on Tidal was 66.
Right.
So I don't know. Do any other phone carriers do the same thing that T-Mobile does, where if you stream music through certain services, it doesn't go against your data plan?
No, I think T-Mobile's the only one who does that. And in fact, that's about to be illegal, I think. Well, that's actually sort of in violation of net neutrality.
Well,
sorry.
I mean, it does, but it doesn't matter anyway, because number one, T-Mobile is one of the only companies, because Sprint doesn't count, that offers unlimited data. But they also don't tell you that, they throttle your data slightly. So even as LTE, you only get LTE for a certain amount of gigs.
Forget that.
It's only noticeable if you are like a nerd about your phone and about connection speeds. Like, I can tell because I go through I'm not even gonna say how many gigs I go through every bill cycle or whatever.
More than 10?
Way more than 10.
Really?
Way more than 10.
My wife and I share 10, and that's plenty.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna say. I'm a little over double that.
Wow. But see, I'm on Wi-Fi a lot.
See, I'm on Wi-Fi on accident. I'm on Wi-Fi on accident. But I just stream a lot. Mm. I just stream a lot. Especially with Spotify. Like, Spotify is my go-to. I'm in the car, whatever. and I'm on YouTube a lot. I listen to a lot of like long stuff. So they have full sermons on YouTube. So that's like an hour and it's a certain, yeah, so it's a lot. So I'm curious to know if, well, I guess no, because you just said that that's about to be illegal. So never mind. So I guess there is a difference. Like people will be able to tell, but I guess the question is, how? Well,
just because it's bigger doesn't mean people will be able to tell.
Well, don't, I mean, hold on. I was going to say, okay, how noticeable is it going to be? Because for you and I, we, you know, we come from the era of the flak rips and,
right,
you know, et cetera, et cetera. And, variable pit rates.
And frankly, for the most part, and people, please feel free to fight with me on Twitter. I don't really care. For the absolute most part, modern MP3 rips, if it's 320, you cannot tell the difference. You cannot tell the difference.
Yeah.
So, like, when we were on the come up, when we were growing up, when we were just little kids, like, MP3 quality, especially anything below a 320, was wildly hit or miss, right? Like, yeah. I don't think people realize this. We're getting super nerdy now, right? But, like, even if you were to rip at 128 now compared to 128, like, 10 years ago, totally different.
Yeah, you couldn't tell. The only reason you're ripping at 128 now is because if you're like ripping a whole album, or whatever, you just want to save space.
I can't even imagine ripping at 128. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, basically, MP3 encoders have gotten better over time, so they're smarter, they're better about how they do things, and so essentially, 320 is CD quality. Like, it really is. That's not a joke. So you're not really going to be able to tell a difference. You're really not. So that's one thing. This whole notion about exclusive content. So there are going to be certain examples where, yes, I totally expect that Tidal will have exclusive stuff. In fact, I believe Taylor Swift stuff is already up there, right?
Same with Rihanna's single.
Right, right. I'm guessing that outside of... So Rihanna is with Roc Nation, is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Roc Nation, Def Jam. I believe she's still on Def Jam.
Right, right. So the idea that artists are only going to be on Tidal is a little crazy. And here's why. It actually has nothing to do with Spotify, and it has everything to do with what iTunes is going to be turning into this summer. So what iTunes is in the middle of right now, what they're doing behind the scenes, is they're revamping it and completely integrating Beats. Mm-hmm. So everybody 100% expects that. And in fact, there was an article about this, how like Jimmy Iovine was, because he works for Apple now, was, you know, has been competing with Jay to sign some of these artists to exclusives. Right. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing that people remember. Like, Apple has a lot of say here. iTunes is like half the market, like total, not half the digital market. iTunes is half of the market, period.
Mm-hmm.
So when Apple comes out with a revamped like thing that ties in streaming and whatever, however they figure out how to do it, I really find it difficult to believe that artists, nope, you can't get my stuff on this brand new Apple service. Instead, you have to go to Tidal. Like, I find that really hard to believe. And the other thing is, for a lot of artists, it's not like the artist gets to wake up in the morning and go, you know what? I want to switch the title. I'm pretty sure their record label and their contract has a lot to do with that.
Absolutely.
And
that's the killer.
Right. And what's gone unsaid in a lot of this back and forth about how much people get paid for streaming, some of that is the streaming companies. Some of that is just there's just not as much money when it's $10 a month. But part of that is how the labels treat streaming.
Yeah.
Right? Like, to me, this is all, we're all still, and even what Apple's doing, like, we're all still dancing around the idea that digital music is going to operate the same way as physical music.
Right.
Right. Where iTunes is still the equivalent of a record store place, and I get singles or albums, and then I pay for them and I download them. Spotify and all these streaming services are more or less the same. You're just paying to access them. But it still operates in a world where major labels dominate. You have to go through distributors as independent artists. Meanwhile, there's this whole other world flourishing on SoundCloud and YouTube where, do you know, like, I can tell you where college age students listen to, and my wife works with teens all day long, and I can tell you where they listen to stuff. They're on SoundCloud and YouTube.
Yeah.
Right? That is where the future is. That is a world where artists can upload whenever they want, whatever they want. Yep. It is not a world exclusively dominated by major labels. And that doesn't mean that major labels aren't going to play a role, because they absolutely will. But we're still making, all these pieces of software are still trying to do the same. They're still trying to make a better record store. Like, somebody at some point will figure out that there's another way to do it. And Beats actually Beats was before, I mean, it's still up, but, you know, the current incarnation of Beats is heavily around playlists, right? And I have no idea if they're going to continue with that. And that's at least something different. But, like, I'm just not impressed by what I've seen from Tidal so far, right? What it looks like is hopefully Jay knows that what every streaming service needs is lots of people. And you either get that by being a really good piece of software that's really easy to use, or by having all the content you could possibly want. And so Jay is trying to bank on the fact that he'll be able to get enough of this exclusive content, right? Or at least early access to stuff or whatever the case might be to convince people to come on board, and that'll make it a viable business.
Yep.
But the idea that this is some like revolutionary, like,
I mean, but that's how you gotta sell it, Doc.
But I hate that. God,
that's what people are gonna buy. He's not a businessman. He's a businessman. That's what they're gonna buy. That's what you're buying.
You're buying nonsense?
No. They're not looking at like not that. It's shoot, for lack of a better term, it's propaganda, right? It's jargon.
It's banking on Jay-Z is basically banking this on people love celebrities, and I've got a whole bunch of celebrities that people really love. Yeah.
You've got Beyonce, Rihanna, and Nicki Minaj like all under one umbrella, like that right there. But even with that, would you say that that's still a limited reach?
Well, I mean, Taylor Swift's there. I mean, they've got a decent sized reach, but you know, it's. What would have been way more impressive is if at the same time, all those artists would have said, you can't get our stuff on iTunes and Spotify anymore. You gotta come here. Nobody did that. Taylor Swift is different. Taylor Swift is signed to a small indie label, believe it or not, that essentially is in the business of Taylor Swift. And then she's distributed by Sony.
Say word. Okay, so is that, how different is that from a Macklemore?
Not quite the same, but... What it means is she has way more control over her career.
Sure.
Than a typical artist does. And she has been very high profile about keeping her stuff off of streaming services.
Yep.
Right? I have no doubt that Tidal pays more per stream. The problem is if nobody's listening, a lot of money times not a lot of listeners isn't a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
Like if it's a dollar per stream, which it's not, but play with me for a second. Let's say it was a dollar per stream. Well, if it's, you know, a tenth of the traffic of Spotify and a hundredth of the traffic of this future iTunes thing, well, who cares, right? And so my problem with it really was, again, this sort of like this idea. It felt, you know what it is? I'll just sum it up this way. It felt very out of touch in a weird way. And maybe it's because you and I have experience at the lower rungs of the music industry, right?
And that's what I was going to, and that's why I want to transition into.
But sorry, I've been on a rant here. Like, we actually know what it takes to get an album onto iTunes as an independent artist.
Right.
Right. It is still way too difficult to do that. That system is still 100% geared towards major labels, right?
It's not that difficult.
It's not as easy as it should be.
Eh,
this is 2015.
It was not that hard for me to get Kairos on iTunes.
Maybe hard is not the word I want to use. Time consuming?
Nah, it wasn't that either.
Okay. Maybe I'm judging wrong. Like, yeah, to me, if it's not as easy as SoundCloud, it's too hard.
It was literally more, it wasn't harder, it was more detailed than SoundCloud, as I expect it to be.
Okay.
So it wasn't difficult at all. Not at all. Not at all. And you've got, you know, nowadays, if you have the correct resources, you can have, you know, relationships with those digital outlets. And, you know, you have artists who are, you know, like our good friends at Collision. They'll do things like, you know, they'll only put the pre-order on iTunes, and the pre-order will be $6.99. But when the day the album comes out, it jumps up to $9.99.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, due to relationships, like, you have the ability to kind of play with it. So it's not difficult at all to get your product on there. Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. But I do want to talk about the independent artists. So take, you know, MC such and such, who is making music out of his bedroom, or, right, you know, even, you know, aspiring or budding artist who has a buzz in his city or his region and may have like a local record deal or something like that. What do these is now Tidal going to be a part of? Because you can pick and choose where you want your album to sit. If you only want it to be on iTunes, it'll only be on iTunes. If you want to exclude streaming services, it can be excluded in streaming services. So like, you know, are we as independent artists, are we going to get that larger cut? Is it going to be more beneficial for us? Because you're right. You know, if it's a bigger cut with smaller people listening to it, it either evens itself out or it doesn't matter anyway. But say this thing does take off.
Sure.
Say it blows up hypothetically.
Okay.
As an independent artist, would it make more sense for me to take my music strictly over to Tidal and maybe iTunes? And that's it.
Because you're chasing a dream that doesn't exist anymore. Unless you're a huge artist. That dream is that you will be able to have a career based solely off of selling albums. That dream is gone. This title is another attempt at putting the genie back in the bottle. Except now we're just differing over details. Right now it's, oh, well, only if we got paid more per stream. That ship has sailed. It doesn't work that way for the vast majority of people anymore. It just doesn't. If you're an artist in 2015, your objective should be to make sure that your major fans can pay for your music. And they will probably pay more. So you need to explore stuff like Kickstarter. You need to explore other options where you can give a bonus stuff. Like, you are going to have super fans and you need to make sure that you take care of them. You also need to make sure that for anybody who, basically anybody who wants to find your music and buy it in a regular way, that they can get it. Absolutely. Make sure they can do that. However, you're going to have to tour. You're going to have to do other stuff. Like, if you are a musician trying to make a living, your objective is to get your music into the hands of as many people as possible. That is the objective. The objective isn't to sit there and go, well, now that I have Tidal, I'll finally be able to make a living off of streaming, because you won't.
Okay.
That's my opinion. What do you think?
It comes down to relationships. I've really been sitting back, and I don't have enough information to really formulate my own opinion, because you're not wrong. For 90% of artists, you want your music everywhere. I remember when Kairos got bootlegged, when it got bootlegged, which was hilarious. I was mad at first. I think I was mad first off because it was a gospel blog that did it. I'm like, are you serious? So after that kind of went away, and I think I ran it on Twitter and went off about it. Somebody hit me up and was like, well, yo, you know, at the end of the day, it's still, even though it's illegal and it's wrong, it's still getting your music out. Somebody's going to hear it, and it might lead to them, you know, going back and buying it later or buying your next project, or at least when, you know, if you come to their city, they'll pay for a ticket. You can't bootleg a concert ticket. You can't bootleg merchandise. Well, I guess you can, but, you know, but like.
Yo, I want to go to a city and see bootleg Kairos merchandise.
Oh, we pulling Onyx. I don't know if anybody knows that story, or MOP, where they used to, you know, walk around New York and look for African bootleggers and beat them up if they had the album. I'm totally down for that cause. But, you know, like, so I get it. But if you're somewhat of a more established indie artist, you know, like, maybe you strike some sort of, if it's exclusive content, because basically that's what a lot of us do with Bandcamp. You know, I offer exclusive content on my Bandcamp because my splits are higher. Right. I'm going to make more money if you buy directly from me rather Correct. Than if you buy from a digital distributor or distributor. I'm sleepy and hungry. So, you know, I guess I say all that to say, like, if you could strike a deal with the Tidal and say, well, instead of Bandcamp, if you buy directly through Tidal, you know, you get these exclusive bonus cuts. Like, it could work like that. So, I mean, like, it's not, I say that to say, although your theory is correct for the vast majority of independent artists, I still think there are some diamonds in the rough that could actually benefit off of the relationship if it is successful. The question now is Tidal going to be successful? Is it going to be able to compete with Spotify, which is now a household name? What's the other one I was thinking of? When iTunes becomes a streaming service or whatever it's turning into.
Right, and there's radio, and there's, yeah.
There's radio. I mean, yeah, there's radio. Are you talking about radio like the app, or are you talking about like the actual radio?
I mean, RDO radio.
Okay, so you've got that. You've got Rhapsody. You've got like other services that people use. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
But obviously 1 and 2 are probably going to be Spotify and this iTunes streaming service. Without question, that's going to be 1 and 2. Is Tidal going to be able to compete with that? That's the question. Let us know. Hit us up on Twitter at CRS Podcast. Let us know what y'all think of Tidal. Do you think it's dope? You think it's going to be beneficial? Yada, yada. Do you think it sucks? It's a terrible idea. You think this is one of Jay-Z's harebrained schemes?
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.